Welcome to the Primal Pioneer, a no-nonsense podcast teaching you how to rewild your life and heal your body using nature's medicine kit. I'm your host, Heather Shepherd, classical homeopath, author of The Sunlight Rx, and alternative healer. For the past decade, I've been helping people overcome acute and chronic health disorders and brain injuries using a 100% natural approach. Enjoy this episode and subscribe to this podcast to stay informed about your body, your health, and how to lead the healthiest life possible, even amidst our crazy modern world. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Today, I want to talk about a somewhat sensitive subject. It can be a pretty intense subject for some, and that is anxiety and panic attacks. As someone who's had personal experience with this, I know how debilitating and paralyzing and just kind of life altering and not a good way. It's very dysregulating way that anxiety and panic states can be. You know, they can make you feel like an outsider. They can make you feel like a failure. They can make you feel like you're never going to get better. They can make you feel worthless, fearful about your life, and can really prevent you from doing things in life that you enjoy. It can be very, very restrictive. And they can also really impact the people around you, especially in your immediate environment, especially your immediate family, right? Your spouse, your partner. So just like all other conditions, type 2 diabetes, cancer, you know, stuff on the physical level, the medical world has also done a stellar job of putting all anxiety and panic sufferers into one nice little box and prescribes the same prescription or the same herbal formula or the same combination remedy or the same breathwork techniques for everybody with anxiety and panic attacks. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm a fan of breath work, and I feel like some of these things can definitely have a healthy place in somebody's life. But anyone who struggles with panic attacks or has in the past or struggles with anxiety states, often the last thing you want is somebody telling you to take a deep breath or to focus on, you know, your breathing and or to get into like some linear headspace. You're out of a linear headspace. You're in a mental, emotional, dysregulated headspace. And focusing on a linear thing when you're in that state, sure, I suspect it could be helpful for some people, but in most cases, it's not. It's not super helpful. It's not super effective. And, you know, when you're in that state, you're not thinking about, oh, let me just take a deep breath and everything's going to be okay. You're thinking like, I'm going to die. Take me to the hospital. I feel like I can't breathe. You know, I feel like I can't get a breath, and even focusing on it isn't helping. So this is typically more often the case in these deep panic states. And when these deep panic states arise, some people feel them very cyclically. Some people feel them more often than others. Some people live in just a general anxiety state. And all of those deserve and need individual treatment in order to rectify the root of the issue. During this episode, I'm going to talk about different forms of anxiety, how each individual anxiety case needs individualized treatment, homeopathic treatment, to make headway, to make significant headway. Because, you know, the things that were offered, the resources, the tools that were offered today, yeah, they can be really good especially when we're not in a panic state, you know, going into some breath work routine, going into a meditation, etc. But most of the things that we are offered and people in anxiety and panic states are offered are more of this palliative approach. And anyone who struggles with anxiety and panic states dreads, absolutely dreads its return, will try to avoid doing the thing that they know will trigger it and will cause it to return. They'll try to avoid it as much as possible. And oftentimes, many of these situations are unavoidable. Crowds, heights, crossing a bridge, flying in an airplane, being in a social situation. There's so many different triggers. We need real, lasting solutions that take the anxiety by the jugular and is able to eradicate it, because these situations, you get full. It's like, how many more anxiety attacks, how many more panic states can I actually take? Can I actually handle and put up with? How many anxiety states can my body sustain, right? So we need much more than palliative care to really get our life back when we struggle with these sort of intense anxiety states. And of course, anxiety, just like any condition, you can have type 2 diabetes, you know, it's kind of like pre-diabetic state, maybe the stage is just getting set, right, to full-blown diabetes. Same thing with anxiety attacks. You can have full-blown panic attacks where you actually go to the hospital and you like sit there and you try to get your breath and maybe they give you some Valium or something. Two, you just have this anxiety come up once in a while, or a low level of anxiety in your daily life, right? These all deserve and need different treatment strategies to individuate it to the person and the person's constitution and the person's psychological state when the anxiety actually comes on. And what are the triggers? We need to individuate the treatment to the triggers. So I'm going to talk about these things as well as root causes of anxiety and panic states. So those of you who struggle with this issue can start to more deeply understand its origin and understand what effective treatment really means and looks like. Before I dive into this episode, I have just a couple of quick announcements. One is that I'm going to be launching an online intro classical homeopathy beginner course this January 2023. And many of you have been asking, hey, Heather, where can I learn more about accurate, effective homeopathy and ways to practice? You know, I want to treat my kids. I want to be able to treat myself when I have an acute. I want to understand when to repeat a remedy and when not to repeat a remedy. I want to understand what potency to use. I want to understand, you know, just the basics of homeopathy. And I will honestly tell you that even most practicing homeopaths today don't know this. Okay. So this beginner course is going to help teach you the basics, but I should say the intricate basics of homeopathy that you, after you take the beginner course, you will likely know more than most homeopaths. That's sad, but it's true, because homeopathy used to be a actual part of allopathic medical training, huge part before the Flexner report, then it came in and, you know, now it's shunned and it's called all sorts of ridiculous things. So this mini course is going to help you understand the foundation of homeopathic medicine, potencies, what potencies to use, why you would use a certain potency in this situation versus, you know, the other, and what antidotes your remedy. There's going to be a lot that I'm going to cover in this course, and I'll be launching this soon, January 2023. It'll be on my site, heathershepherd.com. And it will also be on my study classical homeopathy site as well. Okay, last announcement is that I am also now accepting new homeopathic clients again. You can go to my site, heathershepherd.com/healing. heathershepard.com/healing to set up your initial session. It's confusing to most people. We're used to having a calendar to choose the time. I live in the wilderness and on a farm, and sometimes things come up that need tending to that aren't in my schedule. So I tend to schedule the old school way, book the session, I'll email you, and we will set up a time to have your session. Okay, so let's talk more about this really important subject that so many people struggle with today, and that many people are actually and unfortunately incorrectly medicated for as well, which is anxiety and panic states. So first, we have to understand root causes of anxiety and panic states, which literally are the same exact root causes of every other disease, condition, health struggle. People make this so hard. It's literally not that hard. They think that it's this something really huge, something's really wrong with me. When I'm in a panic and anxiety state, I must be on the just right on the edge here of a chronic disease or of death. And we think that all disease, really mistakenly, we've been taught this, that there's some huge mystery. You know, donate to the Cancer Society so we can figure out how to cure cancer. Jesus, I mean, like, we know how to do that. Please don't give them any of your money. They just, you know, go on vacation with it. So this isn't a huge mystery, but we're taught that it's a huge mystery because every society out there, American Cancer Society, heart, you know, you name it, Parkinson's, MS, raise money for this and that. It's like, yeah, that's not going to be helpful. It's not going to help us get the cure because we already know what the cure is. And if they really don't know, then I'm trying to filter myself a little bit here. Then they're just not intelligent, honestly. But it's not challenging. The root cause of our health issues really isn't challenging. It's not this like big scientific mystery that we have yet to discover. So when we're sick or when we have panic attacks, there's a couple of things that happen. The root cause is one. They're always, you know, very similar. There's a similar pattern throughout all of our mental, emotional, and physical diseases. I talk about these all the time. You have the suppressive therapies, you have mental emotional stress, and you have a weakened constitution. And usually it's a combination of all of those things that bring about a disease state, a diabetic state, a cancer state, an anxiety or panic state. I'll get into that more here in just a little bit, but I want to also kind of warn, or maybe, I don't know if warn is the right word, but just let's talk about testing, okay? This, because when we have something that seems like, oh my God, this panic state is here, there must be something seriously wrong with me. And of course, we apply this to all other things. Oh, I have too much iron, or I think I have cancer. And we've been taught and trained to get into the testing cycle. When we run test after test after test, and we examine all of these things, and we go round and round and round on the linear science merry-go-round trying to figure it out. Okay, you know, this is unhelpful. If there were a test where you did the test, okay, and after the test, the solutions that were offered led to a cure instead of a palliative state or just absolute nonsense. You know, you tested this food sensitivity and that one and then avoid all these things and you're left eating water and crackers. It's absolute nonsense. So, you know, and I want to say, don't get me wrong, because I appreciate good, accurate science. But we've become obsessed with science, and a lot of it is inaccurate. A lot of it's funded and geared towards a specific outcome. And when we get in this headspace around testing, it creates a disconnect. It creates a disconnect in us. We become disconnected from our body because people go through all these tests and they're like, I say, do you react adversely to eggs? Well, you know, my food allergy test said I should avoid eggs and that I have histamine response from them and that I have an allergy to them, so I don't eat eggs. So now, me as a practitioner, I pay very close attention to what somebody's triggers are. Mental, emotional, physical, foods, food specifics. And when we get in this linear headspace with all these testings and round we go, it literally gets us nowhere near the root of the problem. We stay on the merry-go-round, we stay in the chaos, and it disconnects us from our body. We actually don't even know what our body reacts to because we're just making our food decisions and our other medical decisions based off of what some test said versus what our body's actually telling us. So we create this huge disconnect from our body. We create a disconnect from our emotions. And instead, this type of mentality that is so strong in every wake of medicine, allopathic, naturopathic, functional, that it puts people in this deep linear overdrive state with their healing, and they're just trying to figure it out. I'm going to tell you, it's already figured out. If when people come to me, they're like, I don't know why I'm sick. I'll tell you why by the end of our hour and a half session. That will be very clear as to why you're in the state you're currently in. And it will be clear as to how we start to move you out of that state. So people really get trapped in their head too much about their health. And we think that our long-standing suffering is this some nebulous or some disease that just hasn't been figured out yet with science, with our medical world. You know, they're really working hard to figure it out. They're not. And it's just not that hard. In fact, obsessing about our health in this way really, as I mentioned, creates a disconnect from your relationship with your body, the real root causes, and et cetera. And what are the root causes of disease, including anxiety and panic states? I just mentioned these. They're stress, they're suppressive therapies, they're emotional insults that were too jarring for the body. So the body breaks, it meets its breaking point, and an anxiety state sets in, or depression sets in, or a cancer diagnosis comes to the surface. PTSD, trauma, as well as genetic predisposition. These are the root causes of disease right there, period. What you're struggling with today is not some unknown thing that science hasn't figured out. Those are the root causes of disease, including anxiety and panic states. When a stress is applied to the body beyond what the body is capable of handling, it goes beyond the body's limit, then the body drops, the organism drops, excuse me, to a lower level of health. And there's a lot to higher levels, lower levels. There's a whole hierarchical system that I teach my students about and how to navigate and how to read somebody's level of health, but for simplicity and basics of this podcast, every organism, when we are faced with a stress, and that stress is too much for the body to handle, whether it's an emotional stress, a physical stress, an outside stress from a suppressive therapy, then the level of health drops. And when the level of health drops, new symptoms develop. And at first, typically early in life, the stress begins in the form of, you know, we have all this ridiculous poke schedule. I think it's like 72 inoculations now for kids. They're never going to be able to have kids, and those kids are going to be so incredibly unhealthy. It's not a good scene. But, you know, so the stress begins in the form of, it can develop in any forms, but one main one when we're kids, pokes, antibiotics. This puts the organism at a young age into a lower level of health. Its tipping point drops, and we begin to get physical symptoms: rash, eczema, asthma, constipation, dental caries, migraines, growing pains, you know, these sort of things. And of course, stresses are a part of life, but when the organism is one, when these artificial toxic stressors are applied to the body, that's one thing that shouldn't go into the system, as little, if any, as possible. But, you know, when the organism is too overwhelmed with any particular stressor, its level of health drops. And eventually the organism goes from having more of an more of a physical symptomology pattern, you know, physical symptoms. I'm constipated. I have a headache. I have a rash. These are physical symptoms, right? And the deeper, the more deeper the pathology gets, then the mental, emotional symptoms start to come in as well. Depression, apathy, panic states, anxiety, worry, fears, phobias. And with each stressor, the body becomes more and more and more susceptible, weaker, 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 till the physical body starts to collapse and the physical symptoms, how do I want to say this? They can still be there, of course, but the mental emotional picture takes, it moves in, the symptoms are stronger on the mental emotional level and more debilitating on the mental emotional level. So, you know, and as I mentioned, these stressors can be antibiotics, prescription drugs, pokes, or things like grief, trauma, shock, even things like over-exercise. I see this often. There's over-exercise. The organism then develops a pathology because it reached that tipping point. And there can be, the triggers are in any way, shape, or form. They can come in bad news, overwork, a major money expense, somebody's close to you passes away, the kid changes schools and the social scene changes. So with anxiety and panic states, the pathology is not on the physical level at the present moment. It's on the mental emotional level, and pathology on this level tends to be deeper than the physical level and requires treatment that will specifically target the mental emotional level to encourage the pathology to move back to the physical and then, you know, move its way out of the body. So I'll just give you an example of how I experienced this, because when I struggled with anxiety and panic states, it didn't occur until after a major stress. I had my car accident. I was trapped in the car. I couldn't get out. I got knocked unconscious. And people who were witnessing this from the sidelines, you know, so to speak, they said, Heather, you're trying so hard to get out of your car. You're trying, we're telling you, no, no, don't get out. Stay there. The telephone pole that I split in two, the wire fell down and there was a huge thing of water below it from the rain that had just came. And I don't remember any of this, but my body remembers. There's very much this memory that my body holds from that experience. And so after that happened, after that experience, which was in my early 20s, I developed panic states in whenever one, I had to leave the home because I had to get in my vehicle and go far away from home. And that was a trigger because my psyche knew, oh, this is how it all went down. This is a dangerous situation. It wasn't anymore, but that's what my psyche, that's how it processed it. And then the panic attack states would come when I felt like I was in a small space, even something as small as a grocery store or any type of space where there was a crowd. You know, these things where I was like, how am I going to get out of this? And my body just immediately went to, okay, I enter the store. Where are my exits? You know, this is intense. That's a very intense experience. And so the two things that helped me heal this, because this went on for years after my car accident. And there's been a handful of things that have helped me with this. And the two biggest things, 100%, have been sunlight to help rewire my brain, which is how I came to write and create the Sunlight RX, as well as homeopathy. Absolutely astounding. Absolutely. Everyone has their own story around their panic, anxiety states, etc. And so for years, people would say, oh, generic things, try this, Heather, and breath work, and get hypnotized, and try acupuncture. And it was like, yeah, those were all relaxing. But as soon as I went into that situation again, the whole trigger would come back again, and they would go into the panic state. Wasn't getting to the root of the issue. Let's see where I want to go with this. And I think maybe it's worth mentioning some of the specific, you know, triggers, because, you know, those of you out there who are tuning in here and you're like, oh, this person I know struggles with anxiety or panic, or maybe it's you that struggles with it. It can literally come in different forms. And the thing is, how I would treat the type of panic and anxiety that developed in my case would be very different than someone who has panic states that come on when they're alone in the house at night. Very different treatment. Panic states that come on after overexertion. Panic states that come on after some kind of medical diagnosis, or just literally a fear that I fear I have cancer, I fear I have heart disease. You watch the news and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to die and I have that symptom. Shit, I'm going to get a heart attack. I'm going to go over to the blood pressure cuff, take it. You know, these are other forms of panic states. They need a totally different treatment than the others that I've mentioned. The treatment needs to be individuated and targeted to each person's specific set of symptoms. Not everyone with panic attacks has the same symptoms or the same triggers. They're unique, their triggers are unique, and their health history and life experiences are unique. But, you know, as I mentioned, today we give everyone the same thing. It's like the same thing prescription. Take these things, take this. Western, naturopathic, anyone, same. So this is why people are always in a palliative state or always keep searching for the answers, because They just use this same approach. So if you're someone who struggles with anxiety and panic states, and if you have yet to see the improvement that you really are aiming for, know that it's likely not your body that's failing you. It's the approach that's blocking your progress. When someone comes into my practice with panic attacks, I want to know their triggers. I want to know when the panic attacks started, when do they come on, and I want to know the degree to which they're debilitating this person's life, this person's creativity, this person's relationships. This helps me individuate the remedy, decide the potency, and it helps to get the correct treatment to this person. You give the remedy, because some of you are like, okay, Heather, how long does it take? Like, I'm thinking of booking a session here, but like, does this real, like, tell me how this works. So this is a realistic picture. Once you give a remedy for any condition, I should say any chronic condition, you give a homeopathic remedy, you need the 6 to 8 week window to let the body adjust to the remedy. During this state, this time period, this 6 to 8 weeks, the organism is rearranging itself. It's adjusting. The immune system is rearranging itself. It's strengthening. It's adjusting. And so after the 6 to 8 week mark, you've given the remedy for panic attack, for diarrhea, whatever it may be. And then you have your 6 to 8 week follow-up. You say, hey, how you doing? Well, I didn't feel anything the first week or two or three, but after week four, I noticed that the panic attacks lessened. I noticed that my triggers lessened. I noticed that I was able to have a big cry and then my anxiety lessened, and now I feel so much lighter and I feel I'm having far less anxiety attacks and I haven't had one in 4 weeks, you know? And this is how homeopathy works. You give one single remedy for that meets the person's individual symptoms. You give them a 6 to 8 week period. You check in at that point and they say, I feel better. I'm noticing a difference. Each preceding month after that, better, 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 better. And 1 year they'll come back to your practice and they'll say, oh my God, Heather, I have diarrhea so bad. I don't know what to do. It won't stop. And then you say, well, hey, how's the panic attack? You're like, oh, I don't have those anymore. It's like, exactly. This is the beauty of homeopathic medicine. This is the way of healing. Because remember, in panic anxiety states, the pathology is on the mental emotional level. We think that we can take one thing and feel like every single thing we've ever dealt with in our entire lives is just totally gone. You take this and your blood pressure is better and your sleep apnea is gone and you don't have overheated by the sun and you know, we think every single thing that you've ever had in your entire life is gonna be gone. This is misleading. We're also misled in this regard as to what healing actually looks like. So of course we take something and we want to see a benefit. Yes, you take a remedy for anxiety panic state. The anxiety and panic state, oh my gosh, it's gone. It feels better. I don't have that trigger anymore. I can live life more. I can, you know, go out and do things. I can be creative again. Oh, but my right arm's starting to have some joint pain. And when somebody comes into my practice and they have a mental emotional pathology and I give something to treat the mental emotional pathology, and 8 months later, they come back and they say, my mental emotional state is much improved, but my physical, there's something going on here, joint pain, constipation, I'm getting some headaches. this is the best sign we could see. Because in order for healing to occur, the pathology has to move. If it's on the mental, emotional level, like anxiety, like panic, like depression, like phobias, like fears. If the pathology is on the mental, emotional level, you treat. And then after treating, several months later, mental, emotional is better. But here's the physical, because the shit's starting to come out. The mental, emotional level is this deep level in the body. It's like the core of the body. And as you heal the core, then you get closer to the peripheral of your body. You're able to go from a mental, emotional pathology state to a physical state. And then you say, oh my God, but Heather, I thought I healed these allergies that I had 20 years ago, and now they're back. But my anxiety's gone, but my depression's gone. It's like, this is a good sign. You have to have this occur in order for real healing to happen. It just can't go away because of all those years you've suppressed things. You've suppressed all the physical, so much so that now the pathology's on the mental, emotional. You have to, this reverting of old symptoms, this return of old symptoms, once you start treatment, is one of the best indications that this person is moving towards their cure on all levels. And so when we start to treat the mental emotional state, then eventually some stuff will come up on the physical, and then we treat the physical, and then the person is in a much more relieved state on the mental, emotional, and physical levels. So if you're currently struggling with panic attacks, homeopathy is very capable and effective at helping to rectify such conditions. And it does so by one, individuating the treatment. Two, you get a single remedy. If you go to somebody for a homeopath who wants to help you with anxiety and panic states and they give you a combination remedy, ask them for your money back and walk out of the office. I'm not kidding you. That'll never help. So if you are under good homeopathic care, the treatment is individuated. It targets the root causes, and it starts this process of peeling back the layers that set the stage for the panic attacks in the first place. The genetic predisposition, the suppressive therapy use, the emotional shock or trauma. Once this layer is removed on the mental emotional level, the organism, it's like it can breathe again. It can inhale again. It's this rejuvenation to the whole organism. It can settle. It can be more present and capable of the things that the anxiety and panic states prevented. And then the layer that came before the anxiety attacks will gradually emerge. The constipation, the allergies, eczema, joint pain, and then you'll treat that. But this is the way of healing. There's no such thing as a panacea. You take this and everything goes away. Not today. Not the way that we've suppressed things for generations and generations and generations. Homeopathy allows you to remove each layer, all these layers that have developed, right? The ear infection suppressed, the strep throat suppressed, the diarrhea suppressed, the gonorrhea suppressed, the migraine suppressed, et cetera, right? The anxiety suppressed. The over-the-counter anxiety medication, the prescription anxiety, that's suppression. That's 100% suppression. And while somebody may need this in an emergency situation, relying on this will exacerbate the issue in the mental-emotional state, will deepen. The mental-emotional pathology will deepen. So we remove the layers, we individuate the treatment, we let the body heal, and this is healing. This is the beauty, the power, the efficacy of homeopathic medicine. So next week, I'm going to be talking all about diabetes, type 2 diabetes, particularly should be fitting for all the pumpkin pie and figgy pudding coming up on everyone's plates here soon. So I'll see you next time.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode. To learn more about my approach to health, to see all of my creations in the kitchen and all of my Sunlight RX tips, you can follow me on the gram at sunlight_RX and subscribe to this podcast to access weekly episodes.